Hi there, this is Austin Hetzler, the pastor of Christ the Rock Church, located in Amherst, Ohio. We at Christ the Rock are humbled and grateful to be a part of your sanctification today as you listen to this sermon. But at the same time, we want to encourage you to be a member of a good local church, and not to allow online sermons to replace the local church, and to continue to benefit from the life of that church and to give your spiritual gifts back to that church. Having said that, our website is ChristRockChurch.com. If you go there, you can find sermons, blog posts, and other resources, as well as our location and service times. You can also listen to our sermons on Podbean, Apple iTunes, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I, along with the membership of Christ the Rock Church, pray that this sermon will be a blessing to you. If you are a man, we also want to invite you to our upcoming Men's Summit located at beautiful scenic Peniel Bible Camp in Fredericktown, Ohio, from November 12th to the 14th. And the theme of the event is going to be loving women well. I want to say this will not be a conference. This is a weekend of fellowship that is directed by thoughtful biblical discussion. There'll be lots of fireside conversations about God and life and family. There are also going to be lots of amenities at the camp and activities that we'll take advantage of. If you'd like to join us for this event, please send an information request to ben.g.3197@gmail.com. That is ben.g.3197@gmail.com.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for being able to gather with your people today and bring your word. Lord, I pray that you give focus for myself as well as the congregation as we consider these things in your word. Lord, we pray for a movement of your spirit, that these things would be imparted to your people and that we be blessed by your word today. In your name I pray, amen. Well, good afternoon. Today we are going to be looking at 2 Thessalonians 3:6-13. So if you want to turn there now, while you're doing that, I'll give you some time to look that up, and I'll give a slight overview of 2 Thessalonians, since we're kind of jumping into the last chapter there. So 2 Thessalonians was written by Paul only months after his first letter. His first letter was written due to a report by Timothy, and then he must have gotten a second report, is the assumption there. And that's why he felt a need to write a second letter to them. So he writes to them to further comfort them in their hope to come, to warn them of false teachers, and to further instruct how to behave as Christ's church. In the first chapter, the Thessalonians are commended for their faith in the midst of persecution, being encouraged that the Lord will have vengeance on those who persecute them. In the second chapter, Paul warns them of the lawless one and the great falling away from the church, which will happen before Christ's return. He also comforts them in saying that because those events had not yet happened, they had not missed Christ's return, as this was the Thessalonians' fear due to some false teachers among them. The third chapter is mostly instruction, and this is where the focus of our study is today. And assuming you all have had ample time to get there, I will go ahead and read that now. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who walks in an unruly manner, and not according to the tradition which you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we did not act in an unruly manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship we kept working night and day, so that we would not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have the authority, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, so that you would imitate us. For even when we were with you, we used to command this to you: if anyone is not willing to work, neither let him eat. For we hear that some among you are walking in an unruly manner, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ, that working with quietness, they eat their own bread. But as for you, brothers, do not lose heart in doing good. Now, I've entitled the sermon, Work is Good. It's kind of got a subtitle of Beware of the Unruly. And though this is the main point of today, we're going to start looking at the unruly. The word unruly is translated as idle. It's also translated as idle, as in lazy or pointless. The text begins with this command to stay away from the unruly. The Thessalonians were dealing with members in their church who were walking in an unruly, idle, and lazy manner. In fact, Paul later mentions that these members aren't working at all, and that because of this, they're ultimately to be put out of the church. Let's start by defining unruly so we know how to mark these people and be aware of them. Unruly, of course, means unable to be ruled, or as the original language in the text indicates, a soldier unable to follow orders and stepping out of line, causing disruption. Being unruly, this person does not listen to the instruction of their leaders. They cause division and unrest. They act as busybodies, going to and fro, talking to this person and that person, always seeking what they can get from others, but never truly actually contributing to anything of substance. They cause disunity by being gossips, and as we know, gossip often turns to slander, and then the sin cycle goes on and on. This all stems from them not keeping busy, but having idle time. Paul's command for the church, keep away from this person, I think is easy enough to understand. If allowed in regular fellowship, this person will undermine the unity of the church and grieve their brothers and sisters through their constant unproductive, consumptive movement. Let's also define idle. Idle meaning lazy. For the application of this text, the lazy person is the ultimate consumer. They never contribute, and they only ever seek to take what good things God has given his church. They only look out for themselves. They're a selfish, self-centered person who does not want to lift a finger to the aid of others and takes often in excess what could be given to others in charity if they had only provided for themselves. So this person is defined by this attribute. If this person is defined by this attribute of being a lazy consumer, they are by nature a thief. They don't break into your house or take while you aren't looking, but instead they continue to feed off of the charitable nature of the church. This is not the brotherly love the church is called to. Paul later in his first letter to Timothy says in chapter 5, verse 8, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially of those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So what do we say to this type of person? Well, we have to cut them off from the source that they are consuming from, and Paul continues later in this passage, reminding them of the command he gave while he was with them. So the next thing I'd like to cover is the idle person should not eat the bread that they have not made themselves. If anyone is not willing to work, neither let him eat. This is the command that Paul gave them, understanding that if this person's not willing to provide for themselves, they certainly shouldn't be feeding off of others' hard work. So they're not to receive the charity from the church. We are to protect our resources against such a person. This law that Paul lays out for the church here at first glance may even sound severe. To let people have nothing go hungry seems to be wrong, and it seems to go against some the what we're taught in other places. But an important distinction needs to be made here. These people are not the needy and the poor that we are commanded to take care of or help. These people are those who aren't providing for themselves. They're not working their normal day job or even working harder to provide for themselves. So this command is, of course, not to be cruel, but to help preserve the church and to be a teacher to the unruly and idle. They have effectively put themselves in a position to not of having nothing and then feed off the charity and goodwill of others. As Christians, we tend to be, by our nature, charitable. That's a good thing, and we should always stay charitable, but we should also be guarded against the idle one who would seek to leech off the church. The unruly is also commanded to work in quietness. So Paul exhorts the unruly to work in quietness and eat their own food. So in order for them to not be idle, they are to put off that sin of being idle, and they are to put on labor, setting their hands to work that would otherwise steal from others. They must be satisfied with what belongs to them, and in so doing, they may yet be a benefit to Christ's kingdom. Paul doesn't just command them to work, but work with quietness. They're to stop being busybodies and unruly and instead be busy with their own work, minding their own business, being busy and providing for themselves so that they do not go about, as mentioned previously, being gossips. The Proverbs have much to say about work and the lazy. For instance, Proverbs 10, 4 through 5. Poor is he who works with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in the summer is a son who acts insightfully, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who acts shamefully. Proverbs 13, 4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is enriched. These are just two of several verses that speak of the sluggard. So how is the church to deal with this type of person? Paul commands the Thessalonians not to regularly interact with these people. They're to stay away. They're not to be in our everyday lives so as to not leech off of the hard-earned, God-given resources that we have. If this person persists in this behavior and are characterized by it, we are to treat it as any other kind of sin and put them out of fellowship in hopes that their shame will bring them to repentance and restoration. In removing this type of person, we keep the church pure, clear of accusations that Christ's church is made up of lazy beggars who do not care to work for their own provision. As Paul later commands them in that passage we read earlier, in verses 14 and 15, he says, "And if anyone does not obey our word in this letter, take special note of that person so as not to associate with them, so that they will be put to shame. And yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." I find it interesting here that Paul says to not treat them as an enemy. After all, these people have used up precious time and resources from the church, and yet we are to regard them as a brother so that they might come back in repentance and be restored, as restoration is always the goal of church discipline. However, the unrepentant, unruly, idle person has no place in the church. We as Christ Church should be hard workers. Work is good. One of the first statements made at the beginning of time was God looking upon his work and it being good. Granted, we're not a perfect creator, God, but we are made in his likeness and we share this character trait. So in this next portion, I'd like to address work and show you from scripture that work is a good thing. And we'll do this in a few statements and we'll expound as we go. So let's first ask and answer a question. Why do we work? We work to provide for ourselves, our families. We work to create things. We work to better our homes and communities. But as God's people, we ought to work as unto him. So this first statement I want to make is work is good, and God modeled it for us. Let's look at the first moment of work in recorded history where God himself modeled work for us. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated light from darkness. And God called the light day and the darkness night. And there was the evening and morning one day. And thus the first act of work has been accomplished. And I trust we are all familiar with this account as it goes second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. He calls each one good, and at the end he says it is very good. When God finishes work on the sixth day, he says it's very good. And as I said before, we're not creator God and therefore cannot relate to the same degree that God is saying here. But I'm sure you've all looked upon a project that you've completed at some point and said, that's good. That's good work right there. You mowed your lawn. The lawn looks great. That's good work. You got the house clean. The kids are asleep. Yeah. So that's a good day. That's good work. Or even, you worked a long day, hard week at work, and you see your paycheck, and you go, that was good work that I put in. So no, we do not create worlds or species, but we can understand that work is good. It's in our own nature. Second statement I'd like to make is work is commanded for us, commanded of us by God. Work is commanded of us by God. For this, we'll look to Genesis 1:28, where it says, "God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and of every living thing that creeps on the earth." And again, Genesis 2:15, Then Yahweh God took the man and set him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. Here, mankind was given dominion over and commanded to subdue the earth. This was to be one of our main functions on this earth, but not to the simple end of cultivating what was created, but to glorify our Creator through it and even learn more about him as we subdue the earth he created. And much could be said about the dominion mandate and being fruitful and multiplying, but this is not our focus for today. The simple point here to remember is that God created work. Work is a good thing, and we are commanded to work by God himself. Third statement I'd like to make. Work gives us structure and keeps us busy. Since it is our God who modeled our work week for us, it's not difficult to see that we need the structure of working 6 days and resting on the Sabbath. Working our day jobs, whether we work 40, 50, 60 hours a week, it gives us direction and structure, especially as men. We're built to work the land, so to speak. Now, work can never become our identity, as is a lot of times the danger there. We are first and foremost children of God. The work absolutely helps give us structure to our week and helps us stay busy as we make a living for our families and providing for them. Now, you've all heard the old saying, an idle mind is the devil's workshop, and the idle hands are the devil's handiwork. These sayings ring true, since all sin starts in the mind. Idleness of the mind would, of course, bring forth sins in action eventually. We want to keep our minds busy with meditation on God's word and prayer, and our hands busy on the work of provision. Now, there are different kinds of work. Not all work is created equal, and sometimes, being corrupted by sin, our work turns into something not so great. Now that we've determined why we are to work, let's pivot back to our main text today and observe the three kinds of work Paul describes in 2 Thessalonians. Again, let's look to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we did not act in an unruly manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship we kept working, night and day, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the authority, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, so that you would imitate us. For even when we were with you, we used to command this to you: if anyone is not willing, neither let him eat. Paul and company wanted to set an example for them to work hard, earn their own keeps, so they would not be a financial burden on the very new church. It's even mentioned there that they kept working night and day. They were holding normal day jobs in addition to the full-time work of the ministry, building that very, very new church, and which can already be enough of a strain, having to be mentors, regularly discipling, and helping these very new converts, as well as the preaching and the teaching. But Paul isn't boasting here. He's reminding them of the example they were given, so they have a standard to measure themselves and these unruly church members by. So hard work is good. Working a lot is actually a good thing and very beneficial to you, your family, and church. The next kind of work I want to look at is the work of the busybody. Now, as a reminder, the words we're given here are unruly and idle, and they are also later described as busybodies. We've already discussed them to some degree, but I want to point out one more thing that I actually find a bit ironic, in that being a busybody is in itself is kind of a work. It is not a good kind of work, as Paul has just laid out, but it is chaotic, selfish, and unproductive. It's the antithesis of the kind of work we're supposed to be doing within the church. It destroys rather than builds, it consumes rather than contributes, and it's mindless instead of contemplative. And the third work here I'd like to address is simply the work of our hands, so our normal everyday jobs. Our work in and around our houses, our work in our own families, and most certainly the work in the church. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than for men." This work is good. We should not grow weary of doing this work. God gave us that 6-day work week to utilize and to be productive with it. The last thing I'd like to do is observe that last statement in our text today, found in verse 13. But as for you, brothers, do not lose heart in doing good. Paul understands that these types of people, these unruly idle consumers, who only ever take, can leave ones who have been taken advantage of jaded and tired. So in our dealings with these people, we cannot then shut out the work of the gospel. We cannot see every person who needs help as a consumer. There's to be a balance. Be vigilant, but give with the love and charity. We must continue in the good work as a church and not grow weary or be discouraged. Calvin says on this matter, although there are many undeserving, while others abuse our liberality, we must not, on this account, leave off helping those who need our aid. It is interesting to note here as well that this statement of not losing heart and still doing good, the Thessalonians were dealing with a lot of persecution outside of the church, as well as this now unruly behavior within the church. So as I said before, this can cause a lot of discouragement and even cause some to become jaded. So in order for us to apply this text to our lives, we are to be vigilant as a church and keep guard against the unruly. Admonish our brothers and sisters if we see them fall into idleness, and we are to work and work hard with our hands, remembering that work is a command and a gift given by God to protect us from falling into sin and keep our focus on Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time, being able to observe your word together. I pray that this would be a blessing to your people. In your name I pray, amen.
If you are a man, we also want to invite you to our upcoming Men's Summit located at beautiful scenic Peniel Bible Camp in Fredericktown, Ohio, from November 12th to the 14th. And the theme of the event is going to be Loving Women Well. I want to say this will not be a conference. This is a weekend of fellowship that is directed by thoughtful biblical discussion. There'll be lots of fireside conversations about God and life and family. There are also going to be lots of amenities at the camp and activities that we'll take advantage of. If you'd like to join us for this event, please send an information request to ben.g.3197@gmail.com. That is ben.g.3197@gmail.com.
Austin Hetzler is the pastor of Christ the Rock Church of Amherst, Ohio. The church and its ministries are based on an unwavering commitment to accurately representing God's Word. We also passionately believe in engaging the present culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This recorded message is an ongoing ministry of Christ the Rock Church. We are committed to teaching and distributing the truth of the gospel according to the Bible, for the benefit and furtherance of Christ's kingdom. We pray that the Lord will use our pulpit ministry to either effect your salvation or increase the strength and faith of your ongoing sanctification in Christ Jesus. If this message has blessed you and you wish to monetarily support our pulpit ministry, please visit our website at christrockchurch.com and locate the donate button located on each page. Thank you, and may God bless you.